Welcome to the Real Life English Podcast, where we help dedicated English learners just like you cultivate the courage, the confidence, and the skills that you need to understand real life native English, to communicate clearly with people from all around the world, and to make your life an epic global adventure. Now, are you ready to go beyond the classroom and start living your English? Can I get an aw yeah?
In this podcast episode, Ethan and I are talking all about our favorite songs from 2020 that can help you to learn English in 2021. Not only do we talk about our favorite songs, but we talk about some favorite vocabulary or phrases from them and break them down for you as well. And as always, we have even more great songs that we love that can help you to learn English over on our Instagram at reallife.english. So make sure you head on over there as soon as you finish listening to this podcast.
Aw yeah, boys and girls, citizens of the world, this is Ethan from Real Life English, where we believe that listening to podcasts is fun, natural, convenient, and...
Sublime,
that's an awesome one. Way to learn English. So download this podcast and listen to it while you're stuck in traffic, riding the bus, in line at the supermarket, or even...
having a relaxing soak in the bath.
Ooh. I'm joined here in the non-physical Barcelona studio, as always, by the lovely Andrea. How's it going, Andrea?
I'm great, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing great. Did you say that because you're currently soaking in the bath?
No, I'm not. It's maybe a bit hot today for that. We're actually having some good weather here. But yeah, it's nice occasionally to have a nice relaxing bath.
That's true. I think too, with the topic of today's lesson, that we're talking all about music, some of our favorite songs that are great for English learners from 2020 that you can start listening to in 2021. Could be a nice activity to do also while soaking in the bath or listening to this podcast even.
Definitely, yeah. So, you know, you can just relax and soak in there while you listen to our lovely voices and practice your English.
And what exactly does that mean, to soak?
So when you soak, it means that you're immersed in water. We also use expressions sometimes, like if you get caught out in the rain, you might say, oh, I'm soaking wet. And it means that you're really wet from getting caught in the rain.
That's a good point. That's a very good expression to use. You could also use it maybe in cooking, that you might, like, for example, soak beans before you cook them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true, because then they're easier to cook and to digest, I think, aren't they?
That's right. And another good point with like a bath, I've heard a lot of learners use incorrectly that when they say, for example, that they go to the sea, that they say like they want to take a bath or they bathe. I'm not sure if you would use the same word we'd use in the States, but we would usually say like go for a swim, for example. Even if you're not like a professional swimmer, we still would call it swimming.
Yeah, we'd say the same. We don't say that we go into the sea to bathe or to have a bath. But there is that pronunciation difference as well, isn't there? With you say bath and I say bath. But in the UK, people say this in a different way too. So in the north of England, you'll hear people say it more like you, bath.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's really interesting. So today, if you're maybe going to the beach and you want to listen to something, we'll give you some great songs to listen to. And basically, we just chose this topic because our recent episode that we did about some of the best TV series from 2020, some of our favorites that are great for learning English, was so popular. You guys loved it so much. So we thought that we would do something similar with music, as Andrea and I believe are both music lovers. We continuously have our headphones in.
For sure.
So I highly recommend too, if you like this topic, last year I made a lesson over on our Learn English with TV series channel where I looked at some of the best songs from the previous year, from 2019, but they're still relevant for learning English, and I also did some like mini lessons in there. So in this podcast, basically we will give you the different songs, and with each one we will kind of teach you maybe an expression or some vocabulary from it or a great line from the lyrics so that you can also already go and listen to it and know a little bit about the lyrics. And Andrea, why are songs such a great tool for learning English?
They're great because you can do it while you're doing other things. So it's passive listening, but it's really going to help with your pronunciation, because what tends to happen if you really like a song, you tend to sing along with the words, and it's a great way to imitate the singer. And not only that, but you'll learn new vocabulary, expressions, and things like that. Especially, I highly recommend if you're listening to music and there are some words you don't understand, it's great to actually look them up so that you do learn new vocabulary, and then you're not just saying these empty words without really knowing what you're saying, which can sometimes also be dangerous.
Mm-hmm. That's very true. And what would you say to people? There's like a common objection that I hear from people saying that they think that music isn't good to learn because maybe it doesn't use like quick grammar, or it uses slang or things like this that you can't really apply to your speaking.
Oh, that is totally not true. That's a complete myth, because we talk, like, we use slang a lot, you know, there's a lot of colloquialisms, and maybe there will be some grammatical errors in songs, but it's still maybe the way that people speak, some people speak. So it's very good to add to your learning, because it's more natural way of speaking.
Totally. I couldn't agree more. So before we roll into today's main topic, we're going to take a look at a shout out from a very special listener out there.
So today's shout out comes from the United States, and it says, "Hi there, my name is Letitia, or maybe Leticia, I'm not sure. I love, love your podcast. I listen to it daily while I work, and my English has improved a lot. I can't thank you enough. I also found your YouTube channel and I really like it. You guys have an awesome and fun way of teaching. You guys rock. Ah, yeah."
That's such a fantastic shout out from Letitia. Thanks so much for taking the time to go over to Apple Podcasts and to leave us that fantastic review. I'm glad too that you're kind of killing two birds with one stone. You're making your work a little bit more productive by listening to this podcast.
What do you mean there by killing two birds with one stone?
That's one I guess we use a lot on this podcast, because I think that podcasts are a great way to do that, but it's you're achieving two results with one action, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So it's great that if you listen to this podcast while you're doing other things, you're then killing two birds with one stone.
Mm-hmm. And maybe if you want to kill three birds with one stone, even, you can go to the show notes of this podcast, where we'll list all of like the expressions and the vocabulary, even that we didn't explain on the podcast directly. So this can be a great accompaniment to your learning along with it. So maybe you can be working, you can have a tab open with the show notes, which you'll find over at reallifeglobal.com, and just look for the podcast tab, and you can be listening along. So and also, if you want us to shout you out, just like we did to Letitia, all you have to do is head over to Apple Podcasts, or while you're over on the show notes of this podcast, you could leave us a comment on there telling us what you're learning or what you like about the podcast. And basically, the other really great thing is that when you do this, you're helping other people from all around the world to have a lot of fun learning with us. That said, we have a new section that we're going to try out today. So also, while you're over there, why don't you let us know what you thought? Today, we are going to be looking at some incredible idioms.
Okay, so today we're going to be looking at some idioms that are related to music. So the first one is change one's tune.
So I would say this, change one's tune.
Yes.
How did you say that?
So yeah, I say tune. So in the UK, when you have a T and a U together, we tend to make it more like a ch sound. Some people won't. Some people, like, for example, the Queen, she would probably say tune. So again, it's a bit different to how you say it and also how I say it. But generally, when we just want to speak fast, we'd say like tune, Tuesday, and so on.
YouTube.
Yeah, exactly.
Instead of YouTube.
Yeah.
So what does it mean then to change one's tune?
So if you change your tune, it means that you have changed your opinion about something.
Mm-hmm. And why do we say this? Like, why? What is a tune?
A tune is actually another word for a song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you could say like, that's a really great tune, or I love this tune. That kind of comes from music as well, I guess, because you would like tune a piano or you tune a guitar, right? When it's out of tune.
Exactly.
So what does that mean?
So if something's out of tune, it doesn't sound quite right. You need to, like, I don't know how to describe it because I don't play these instruments, but you need to like fiddle with it maybe. You need to make some adjustments.
To fiddle with something.
Yeah. You need to make some adjustments to the instrument so that it sounds right, so that you can play the correct key, I suppose, and chords and things like that.
Mm-hmm. It's basically just making like adjustments so it sounds like it's supposed to sound. It's making the right note. So I suppose that's where maybe if you change one's tune, it's almost like you can change the tune on a guitar maybe if you want to get like a different set of sounds, which maybe you'll find some like really advanced guitar players might do this to kind of give a unique sound to their playing of that instrument. So if you someone's changed their tune, what does that mean?
So you change your opinion or you change your mind about something. So for example, we might be having a conversation and you'll say, oh, I really didn't like that movie that I watched, but when you first saw it, maybe you said it was okay. And then I might say to you, oh, you've changed your tune, like because you changed your mind.
Exactly. So that's a really great one to use that natives use quite often. And then we have a second one, which also is related to music. What is it?
Play it by ear.
So what does that mean literally if you're in the music world and you were to play something by ear?
So I guess when you play something by ear, you're not using the notes or the music sheet as a reference. You're just doing it by what you remember from how it sounds and not actually reading the music.
I'm always so impressed by people who can do that, just like listen to something and then be able to like play the notes on a guitar or a piano or something without having to see anything. I find that very impressive. What does that mean though if we said that as an expression? Like we said, if you said, I don't know, maybe we should go to the beach this weekend at 2 p.m. and I could say, well, I'm not sure what I'll be doing this weekend. Let's play it by ear.
Exactly. So you don't want to make a concrete plan. You just want to go with the flow is another way to say this, I suppose. You don't want to make a specific time, a specific plan. You know, it's just we'll play it by ear. We'll see how the day goes and then we'll meet at a time that's convenient.
Mm-hmm. So in other words, we could say like to improvise, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. So these are, again, very useful expressions that you can start using in your everyday speaking. And we'll have some more as we're looking at the song. So let's jump into today's main topic. All right, Andrea, I'll let you do the honors of sharing the first song.
Okay, great. So I kind of have two songs here, but I'm going to talk about one more than the other. So Harry Styles released some new music last year, and one song that was really popular that everyone probably has heard is Watermelon Sugar, which is a great song. I just haven't chosen it to really talk about here because maybe there's not so much rich vocabulary and things. It's quite repetitive. So it's definitely a good one to listen to and maybe practice your pronunciation and things like that. But he also had a song called Adore You, which I absolutely love. I've been listening to it a lot this week as well, because it has kind of like an 80s vibe to it, I feel, and I really like the music and I like the words, and I think it's a really great one to listen to and to learn English with.
I totally agree. I loved both those songs last year as well, and especially Adore You. I think that was my favorite song off of that album. I think the video clip or the music video, as we would probably call it more in English, is really fantastic for that one. It's like tells like a great story. So if people kind of like watching the music video as well, that's a really good one to check out. It also features like a narration at the beginning from Rosalia, who's another singer who I absolutely love. I think you know her as well, right?
Yes. Yeah. She's from Catalonia, isn't she?
Yeah. She's from here in Barcelona. So a lot of people might have gotten to know her. She did a recent collaboration with Billie Eilish and she's kind of showing up all over the place. So what is the expression or the line that people could learn from this song?
Yeah, so the one I chose is, I get so lost inside your eyes.
Ooh, that's a good one, a very romantic one.
Yes, a very romantic one.
What does it mean?
So it means like, I suppose it means like, he's just falling deeply for this person. And if you get lost in someone's eyes, it means that you have a connection with them, like you're connecting to them. And maybe their eyes are just so mesmerizing. You're mesmerized by them. It just, yeah, it makes me think of all these things, like you're really falling for someone.
That's a really good word as well, mesmerized. What does that mean?
Just when you're blown away by something and you're fascinated by it.
Mm-hmm. It's almost like being bewitched or something, like someone has put a spell on you, right?
Yeah.
So I think it's a really great one. It's romantic because obviously when you're in love and stuff, like a lot of times maybe you just like stare into your lover's eyes and something, like you don't really need anything else. And that's kind of what it makes me think of, is, you know, that honeymoon phase, we might call it, like when you're first starting to see someone and falling in love.
Yeah, it feels very intense.
Exactly, exactly.
So what's your first pick, Ethan?
So for my first pick, I chose one of my favorite artists of all time. I think she's one of the best singers really alive who's creating music right now. And that's from Sia. And she's been releasing new music. She's actually, because she's starting to try her hand, I believe, at directing. And she has a movie coming out. So she's been releasing a lot of music that is basically coming from the album, from that movie. So one of the songs that I thought was, I think maybe she wrote it even because of what was going on in the world and everything. There was, you know, things were quite brutal in the United States and everything this year. So it's called Courage to Change. And it's kind of about that, you know, like having, I guess, the courage to try to change things, to stand up for what you believe in.
Oh, wow. I'm not sure if I've heard that one because I haven't listened to a lot of her new music. So I'll have to check it out. But what particular vocabulary or phrase did you like from this song?
There's a lot of great lines in the song, but the one that I chose, because I think it's quite interesting and has some nice imagery to it as well, is sowing the seeds of love and hope. So What does that mean, to sow seeds?
So literally, farmers sow seeds, you sow seeds to when you're planting, to grow crops and things like that. But it's not the literal meaning here. It's more talking about sowing the seeds of love, which obviously isn't really a literal thing that you do, but it means that you are kind of planting those seeds. You're spreading love and hope.
Yeah, we might say that you like plant a seed or you sow a seed as kind of like an investment for the future, right? The same way that like when you plant a seed or you sow a seed, literally it will become a beautiful flower or something that you can eat in the future.
Exactly. So it's, like you said, it's an investment. It's something you do for a future gain.
Exactly that. If you're sowing the seeds of love and hope, you're doing something, I suppose, with the theme of the song, you're doing something so that, you know, in the future, we'll have more love and more hope in the world. And this also made me think of another expression that we use quite often in English. You reap what you sow.
Yeah, that's a good one, because maybe if someone is behaving in a negative way or not being very nice, you might say you reap what you sow, because then they might get that back to them, a little bit like karma as well. So if you sow seeds of love, then you're likely to get that back, right?
Exactly. And these words, like, you don't use them so much in like everyday English, like the vocabulary of reap and sow, but like in these expressions, we would use them all the time. So like reap, when you reap what you sow, it's like that literally means that whatever you plant in the field is what later you'll reap. So it's like you'll be able to collect, you know, the fruits of your labor, we might also say. So it's kind of like that too. Yeah. You could say to someone who's doing things, making poor choices, or maybe who is complaining about something and maybe they just didn't like work hard enough at it. So you'd say like, you know, you reap what you sow. You didn't work very hard. And so now that's what you get.
It's true. And it's probably important to point out as well the spelling of this word sow, because it's a different one. It's S-O-W. So it's not like when we use so in a sentence, like to connect ideas, it's just S-O. And it's not even when you are sewing some clothing or sewing something together, because that's S-E-W. So that's a good one because it sounds the same, but the spelling is different.
Exactly. It's a great one for that reason. And we forgot to mention also with Harry Styles, but with both of these artists, with Harry Styles and Sia, we did YouTube lessons with both of them this year on Learning with TV series. So if you are a fan of either of these artists or you just want to learn with music, those are really great ones to check out. So just search Learning with TV series Sia or Harry Styles.
Wouldn't it be great if there was some way to understand real English without getting lost and without getting bored? Well, now there is. with our real-life native immersion course, we will take you on a 41-week real-life adventure of the English language, each week exploring a different topic connected to our goal to help you understand and use real native English and make it a permanent part of your life in a way that is fun, natural, and convenient. The best part is you can try it for free with our 3-part Power Learning Series. We will send it to your email. Just go to reallifeglobal.com/pod, that's P-O-D, to sign up. Now let's get back to today's podcast lesson.
Okay, so my next one is by Justin Bieber and it's Intentions. And I really like this song. I really like it because we actually did a dance to it during the first lockdown. We were having online dance classes. And so my teacher choreographed a routine to it. And it was one of those that we learned during lockdown. So I have a memory of this song as well from 2020. And I really like the line, "Shower you with all my attention," because it's a phrase that we use a lot. Well, it's an idiom because you don't technically shower someone or something. You shower yourself if you're having a shower. But we use this a lot to describe when you shower someone or something with something.
Yeah. So that kind of collocation, even like showering someone with your attention or with your love or something like that, would be like you're giving them all of your attention, all of your love, right?
Exactly. And it also made me think about like a baby shower, because that's a very American thing, but we do it a lot in the UK now as well. And that's like when you shower someone with gifts. So you can shower someone with love and attention, but you might have a bridal shower or a baby shower. And in that moment, you're showering someone with gifts, because when you buy them a gift, like for their a mother-to-be or something, so you buy something for the baby or the mother, and that's another thing that we tend to say and do.
You might also be like showering them with your, I don't know, with your joy, kind of like that shared joy of the moment that they're about to get married or about to have a baby, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I actually never thought about that, so that's something interesting that I'm learning today. And I'm not a big Justin Bieber fan, or would you consider yourself a believer?
I wouldn't say I'm a believer, but he does have a lot of good songs and I can't deny that. Like I do, they're so catchy, like they just stick in your mind and you find yourself singing them, and some are really good for dancing to as well. So I do like a lot of his songs.
Yeah, that's a really good word that you mentioned as well, catchy. Mm-hmm. You already defined it, but I thought I'd point that out. So as related to music, saying a song is catchy. That's true. Like our last, we had actually like a retreat last year. And at that point, we were working on a lesson with his song Yummy. So that's like another one. If people want to learn with Justin Bieber, you can go over to Learning English with TV series. And we have a lesson with him. But it was like the kind of like the anthem during our retreat that we listened to that song over and over and over again, even though none of us were really big Bieber fans.
Oh, nice. Yeah, that is definitely a really catchy one.
So a believer is a Justin Bieber fan, right? Is what they call them.
Yeah, the diehard fans.
The next one I have, another like artist, DJ, I guess might be the right word, that I absolutely love is Kygo. I think he's like makes some of the best songs and stuff, and like really great songs to like relax to or have on in the background if you have people over or you're just chilling out or something like that. And he did a new album with like a lot of really great artists. I think the other thing is that he collaborates with so many really talented singers. And he did a collaboration with one of my favorites, he's a British artist actually, who's maybe an up and comer, we could say. His name's Rhys Lewis, and the song is called Hurting. So this one has, the lyrics are a little bit sad actually, because I think it's kind of like about heartbreak and stuff, but there's some like really great expressions. It was kind of hard for me to choose one. But the one I chose, he says, "I pull you into my arms, but you're still out of reach."
Wow, so that's a really deep one.
Right, yeah. What would that mean if someone is out of reach?
So if someone's out of reach, you can't reach them. You can't physically touch them. But I don't think he's meaning that here, is he?
Yeah, I think it's more of a metaphysical, in some sense, more of a emotionally way of saying that you can't reach someone. We might say this as well, like you can't reach someone on the telephone, right? If you're like calling them and they're not picking up, like they're busy or something, you say like, oh, I tried calling you, but I couldn't reach you. So this word is like really adaptable in that sense. And if you're saying someone is out of reach, like emotionally, it's kind of like you can't connect to them or something, or you maybe almost feel like you don't know what's going on with them. You can't really see inside of their mind.
Yeah, so this person is in their arms, but they're out of reach. So there's something quite wrong there. They're not connecting or they're not being open. So they are close, but there's been a breakdown there or something.
Exactly. So if you like this kind of like poetic language of sorts, and you like, I don't know, heartbreak songs, I guess, as well as kind of the genre that you could call it, it's a really great one to check out. And I highly recommend to the rest of Kygo's music, the rest of Reese Lewis's music. He's like a very talented singer and a very talented DJ. So if you're into any of those kind of things, then great ones to check out. But what's the next one you have on the list, Andrea?
So you mentioned her earlier, and this one is No Time to Die by Billie Eilish. And I love Billie Eilish anyway, but this is a James Bond theme song. So No Time to Die was the new film that was supposed to come out last year, but has been delayed a few times now, hasn't it, due to COVID?
Right.
But it's just one of those classic James Bond theme songs, and I love the way she sings it. It's got some really great vocabulary in it as well, and it's a story, so she's telling a story really, and I love that about it. And I picked out the phrase "fool me once, fool me twice" because I feel like that's something that people tend to use a lot.
Mm-hmm. So I guess that's not the actual expression, right? We'd say "fool me once, shame on you; fool me twice, shame on me." Right?
Exactly. And what does that mean?
So if you say, it's basically, you know, saying that if someone tried to trick you or they tried to do something to take advantage of you, for example, if they do it once, it's like shame on them because, you know, they're trying to deceive you. But if they do it twice and you still believe it, you still fall for the trick, it's, you know, shame on you because you didn't catch it. You didn't learn from that first mistake of trusting them.
Exactly. Yeah. But here she's using it a little bit differently, I suppose, because it's in a song and she's just telling a story, but she's kind of saying it's part of the story. You know, maybe she's been fooled or deceived, like you said, by this person, maybe once or twice or more. We don't know.
Mm-hmm. It's almost, in some sense, I think like a lot of Bond songs too, it's like a love song in some sense. So it's maybe kind of, it's an experience I think a lot of people have, is that they love someone and so they always are trusting them, but that maybe that person lets them down a lot, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why sometimes if you get fooled twice, it's more kind of your fault because you could maybe expect it to happen, but maybe you're just trying to think it won't.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So this is another one definitely that I could have had on my list as well. I listened to it a ton when it first came out, and it was quite disappointing also because it gave kind of this build up, this excitement for the James Bond film, which never came.
Exactly, I know. I'm not even sure when it's going to be released now. Is it the end of this year now?
I'd heard like May was the last time I checked, but okay. Who knows? I don't know if Disney might do the same thing. I believe it belongs to Disney. I'm not sure if they'll do the same thing like they've done with other movies, just like releasing it on their platform. But it's definitely one I'm looking forward to whenever it does finally come out.
Me too.
We'll have to create a lesson on it.
Definitely.
So, and this is actually another one, the Billie Eilish, No Time to Die. We also did a lesson with that song. So if it's one that you like, or if you like Billie Eilish, or you just like this expression that we taught you, you can get a lot more with that one.
Nice. So what's your next one, Ethan?
My next one is a bit more of an alternative one, I guess. I guess a lot of my music, I like more alternative music, but this is from a singer from New Zealand, I believe. Her name's Navi. Not actually sure if it's Navi or Navy, but it looks like Navi because it has two V's, and it's called Pieces. So this was one like Spotify suggested to me, and then it was really catchy, as you said before. And I was listening to it like again and again and again, just because I couldn't get it out of my head. So there's also some great lines in this. It's also kind of, I think, about getting over heartbreak or something like that is what the lyrics are about. And so the line that I chose, she says, "Just started sleeping all through the night without waking up back in the deep end." So there's kind of like a lot of things, actually, I thought that just in this one line we can learn. For example, she doesn't pronounce the G's, which I found a little bit surprising because she's from New Zealand, and I kind of think of this as more of an American thing, but throughout the song, we can kind of see how she drops the G on the ING's. Would you say you would do this very often in the UK?
I'm not sure. I don't tend to do it a lot, but I think some people would. I suppose maybe a bit more of a Cockney accent, and maybe in some places in the north of England as well, they would do this because it just makes your speech faster and maybe a bit more natural for some people.
Yeah, I think it's also something that just naturally happens because it kind of facilitates connected speech. So it's like your speech flows more together and it makes it, you know, easier to speak faster. So we see some examples here that if she said like sleeping all, then that G doesn't really connect to the A, but when you drop it, then it's like sleeping all, and it almost sounds like one word. So it's that more fluent speech. And the same with the other one, like is a phrasal verb, waking up. But a lot of times we would say, instead of saying waking up, we'd say waken up. So kind of dropping the G and connecting them. And then the other thing I think that was really interesting that she says here is in the deep end. What does that refer to?
So if you're in the deep end, like for example, if you're in a swimming pool, you might be in the deep end, swimming there where it's not shallow and your feet can't touch the bottom. But I guess what she means here is that she's in too deep. That's another expression we have, right? When you're in too deep, you're too involved in something to maybe then take a step back or come out of it. Or maybe if you're deeply in love, it's a way of describing that as well.
Yeah, there's another very similar expression that means the same thing, right? To be in over your head. It's like you don't really have the experience to deal with a situation or something like that. So it's kind of the thing too, I guess, when you're going through a heartbreak, you're like, you feel like you're in too deep. You don't know how to deal with all those emotions and the feelings and the depression and stuff, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Another really great artist. Highly recommend checking out that song. What's your next one, Andrea?
So my next one is by Dua Lipa. And well, she's always releasing music, I feel like. She's like always has a song in the charts and things. So there were quite a few songs of hers I was listening to last year, but I really like Don't Start Now. Mm-hmm. And again, I just feel like it has that music is a little bit more like 80s kind of vibe. And it puts me in a good mood.
Right.
And the vocabulary that I picked out is the first line of the song. She says, did a full 180, crazy, thinking about the way I was.
Mm-hmm. What does that mean if you do a full 180?
Yeah, so if you do a 180, she means 180 degrees. So a full turn would be 360 degrees. But she's turned like a half turn, basically, which means that she's changed in some way. You know, if you do a full turn, then you've changed a lot probably because you've come full circle. But I think that's what she's describing here. And also it's quite interesting because she doesn't say thinking about the way I was. She says thinking about the way I was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's something we do a lot in English, right?
Yeah, exactly. And you know, she's from the UK, but obviously she sings with an American accent like so many British singers do. And so I suppose that's why there's a bit of connected speech here that probably sounds a bit more like American English.
And that probably is another thing like with connected speech that you would say like thinking about as well as they kind of will like link together, right?
Exactly. And also we've just done a lesson with Dua Lipa. So if you do like her, you like her music, or you just like her, we've got a really fun lesson that you can check out on Learn English with TV series.
Yeah, that one, I think it'll make you laugh a lot as well. Not just learn with her music.
For sure.
Because she's quite a hilarious person, it seems like.
Yeah, definitely.
Dua Lipa is another, like she's an up and comer, I think is another. What is an up and comer? I think I mentioned that before. We didn't define that.
Yeah, so if someone is, we would say up and coming as well. So if someone is up and coming, they are relatively new in maybe a profession or on the scene here in the music scene, but they are very popular. So they're just getting started, but they've become really popular. They have like good momentum and someone that is like breaking through. That's another way I think of describing a kind of artist, a breakthrough artist or an up and coming artist.
Exactly. So she definitely just like exploded in the last year, releasing an album. It's like I feel like anywhere you go, you would hear her on the radio or on the speakers of the shopping center or anything like that. So really good for her. So we have, I think you just have one more left. I have two left, so I guess we'll get on par here. So my next one is from an Australian artist named Vera Blue or Vera Blue. I'm actually not sure how she pronounces it. And I just discovered her, I think last year or maybe at the end of 2019, and absolutely like fell in love with so many of her songs. I think she's such a talented artist. And so I put two songs here that I think are both really worthwhile to check out if you want to start getting into her music. One is called Regular Touch, and the other one, which she just released fairly recently, is called Lie to Me. So there's really a lot of really great lines in the song, but I chose one, which is called, she says, just a flicker in the light, catch the corner of my eye. So there's some good vocabulary and expression here. So what is a flicker in the light?
So a flicker in the light is like when kind of the light goes off for a moment and then comes back on, but it's like really quick.
Mm-hmm. Almost think of like a candle kind of like flickers, doesn't it?
Yeah, when there's a breeze or sometimes maybe it's not lit very well and it flickers. Yeah, it's very nice imagery.
Right, exactly. So a flicker in the light, and then she says, catch the corner of my eye. So what does this come from?
So if you catch something from the corner of your eye, like you're not focused on it, it might not be exactly in front of you, but if you think of your like your peripheral vision, like from the side mm-hmm. of you, exactly. you can catch something there from the corner of your eye, you see it.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, we'd say that a lot too, like, oh, I saw it out of the corner of my eye or something like that, when you, it's like in your peripheral vision or something.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So that's pretty much it. It's another great artist for you to check out if you're interested in discovering someone new. And what's your final one, Andrea?
Okay, so my final one is Blinding Lights by The Weeknd, which probably doesn't come as a big surprise because I think it was one of the biggest hits of the year last year. I'm not sure if this was number one or if there was a song by Lewis Capaldi as well, I think that was up there. But this is one of his biggest hits ever, I think. And I think it was helped as well by TikTok because I'm not sure if you saw, but there was like this dance routine that became really famous with it. And everyone was doing this TikTok kind of dance challenge during lockdown and everything last year.
That's so hilarious. And this one is like another one, I think, kind of with your theme that you've got going here of ones that sound kind of like 80s.
Yes, definitely. This is very much, I know I must be really nostalgic at the moment or something. And I'm loving like 80s and 90s music at the moment, just revisiting old artists and everything. But this one definitely has that feel. And there's a lot of vocabulary in the song, but the line I picked out is, I'm going through withdrawals.
So what does that mean, to go through withdrawals?
So we might say that you're having withdrawal symptoms when you stop something quite abruptly. So maybe if you have an addiction to maybe chocolate or cigarettes or alcohol or things like this, and then you stop it. Like we have the expression as well, if you go cold turkey. So if you go cold turkey, it means that you completely stop. So if you want to stop eating chocolate, for example, and you go cold turkey, you don't kind of like wean yourself off it. So it doesn't mean you reduce the amount you consume. It means you completely stop. That's to go cold turkey.
I think there's a lot too with smokers that like people who want to quit smoking might use like a patch or like nicotine gum or something. Mm-hmm. But maybe people who have, they feel like they have a very strong willpower or something like that, will just one day throw away their cigarettes or they say, I'm done. And they kind of suffer with the withdrawal symptoms.
Exactly. Yeah.
So do you think that's what he's saying here? Is he saying it literally with like drugs or alcohol or something along those lines? Or do you think it's maybe more emotional?
Yeah, I definitely think this one is more emotional.
So you could say this maybe, it's again, I guess we also have this kind of theme, but like when you have a heartbreak or something like that, maybe you go through withdrawals in some sense.
Yeah, because if you've been with someone for a long time, maybe you depend on that person and you're used to them being there for you and then they're not, you can definitely feel that in a relationship too.
Most definitely. So this is another really catchy one, an absolutely fantastic song. I came upon it late because we were talking about Rosalía at the beginning of the list and everything, and she did a remix with him with this song as well. And that's actually like the one that I discovered and absolutely fell in love with in it. One thing I really like about that version, if someone's like, if you already like this song, and you want kind of like a different spin on it, or if you haven't listened to it yet, it mixes some lyrics in Spanish and lyrics in English. So I really like songs like this that will have like multiple languages.
Yeah, I haven't heard it. So as soon as we finish recording the podcast today, I'm going to listen to it because I'm really intrigued.
You'll have some homework, right?
Yeah.
Great. So the last one that I have here is from another artist that I newly discovered called Ruben. I believe he's from Scandinavia, if I remember correctly. And the song is called Burn Down This Room. And I like him just because I think he has like a fantastic voice. And the line from the song that I thought was really great is, "You think I like to play the victim." I think it's actually the first line in the song, in fact. So what does that mean, to play the victim?
Yeah, so maybe in a relationship, there's one person that tends to play the victim a lot. So they kind of paint the other person as the bad guy and that they're always doing something wrong. And you kind of feel sorry for yourself if you're like, if you're the victim, you're the one that's always having something negative done to them, or, you know, you're not very happy. It can be, you can kind of feel like you're a victim, but he's talking about playing the victim. So that means that maybe there's not some truth in it, that that person is kind of always acting like a victim.
Exactly. Which I suppose that can happen a lot in a not so healthy relationship, right?
Yeah.
Or maybe people will, I feel like there's a lot of people too that they just go through their life playing the victim, that, you know, they think bad things always happen to them. And, you know, there's kind of like, we'll say that people like this will say, why me? You know, it's, these things are always happening to me. It's kind of like the opposite of having a more proactive attitude in your life of, okay, you know, things happen. What are you going to make of them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
So awesome. Well, we've given you 10 really fantastic songs today. If you want to get more of my music, we share a lot in our newsletter that I have like a list on Spotify that's public. If you want to check that out, we can also link it in the show notes of this episode. And we also are going to share a couple songs exclusively over on Instagram. We'll have 4 or 5 more for you over there. So be sure to head over to @reallife.english and you can get 5 more fantastic songs to learn English with and some more vocabulary and expressions from them.
Yeah, so you've got lots of songs to choose from to start listening to and to start practicing your English. And I hope you enjoy them as much as we have.
Yeah, so that's all we have, I believe, for you today. And we'll see you next week on the Real Life English Podcast. 1, 2, 3. Yeah.
Hey again, I hope you enjoyed today's lesson. Don't be a stranger. You can find all the notes like vocabulary, links, and more for this lesson on our blog at reallifeglobal.com. And connect with us and on Instagram @reallife.english for even more fun English recommendations. Do you want to continue your learning and get confident, fluent English? Then I have a couple great recommendations for you. First of all, check out our YouTube channel, Learn English with TV Series, where you can have fun learning to understand fast-speaking natives with your favorite movies, series, and more without getting lost, without missing the jokes, and without subtitles. Second, if you like our podcast, then our real-life native immersion course is perfect for you. It is the next best thing to studying abroad in an English-speaking country. Try it for free with our 3-part power learning series. Just go to reallifeglobal.com/pod to sign up. Finally, if you are enjoying our podcast, then please assist us in helping more people go beyond the classroom and live their English. You can do this by sending a link to this podcast to a friend or by leaving us a 5-star review wherever you are listening. We might even shout you out on the podcast. Stay healthy and safe, and I look forward to seeing you next week. Aw, yeah.